Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's our topical Bible study devotion / radio program podcast. We just like to hang out and talk about Jesus. And I always like to do that with a guest. I've got a special guest today. I've got Bruce Brett with me again. Bruce, welcome back to the program. It's like your third, fourth show now, man, coming up. We're just going to keep plugging you in and getting you going. But welcome to the program, man.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. And, you know, what we do is we take a topic, we bring a topic to the table, and then we just bounce that topic around and we just kind of go, what is the Lord speaking about this topic? What is God sharing with us? How can we apply the scriptures and this topic into our lives and see God begin to move and redirect us? Because we need work. You know, if you're out there listening today, there is some area of your life where you need a little bit of work. I know, Bruce, you need work in your life. I need work in mine. We never really arrive in this life. And I love the idea that God is forever working on us, and he's constantly trying to build us up and make us into something even better today than we were yesterday.
Definitely. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said I should be walking around with a permanent under construction sign.
Yeah, right.
Wrapped around
That's
me.
That's so good.
Maybe
so good.
Some caution tape as well.
So I actually brought the topic today, and I thought it was a weird one. You know, I was just talking to the Lord about it, but somebody out there's probably listening today that we need to discuss this. You know, as we head into the holidays and, you know, we've got all this comparison going on, Bruce. There's, you know, a lot of people are looking at what their neighbors are getting. You know, I mean, yes. You catch yourself driving down the road after Christmas. You're looking at everybody's trash boxes to see what they got. And he got the 80-inch TV and I only got the 52, you know, or something like that. But there's this thing that the Bible teaches us about, and it's called envy. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about envy today on the program. I know it's a little bit of a strange topic, but I think it's something that we deal with around the holidays. I think it's something that we deal with in this time of a year. So,
most definitely, anything from they've got nicer Christmas lights than I have,
right?
To who got what for Christmas, and
yeah,
you know it. For some reason, it is actually part of our society now that we have just had so much poured out on us through social media and through other avenues that we are constantly looking at Facebook, seeing the perfect picture of somebody's moment in their life, or Instagram, like, oh, look how much fun they had picking out their Christmas tree. Why don't I have a real Christmas tree? You know, and it is just one thing after another, things that
sure.
We don't even want sometimes,
right.
But because somebody else got it,
I need to have
now
one too.
I need to have it.
Yeah, it's no joke. But how about you guys that are out there listening today? Have you ever experienced envy recently? You know, that feeling of envy, it's like this response. You see what somebody else has and you automatically respond, and that emotion just kicks in, and it's an emotion of envy. And you know, it's a result of this, Bruce. I kind of broke it down and I was looking at it and I was like, all right, what is envy really? And I had to come to the conclusion that it's a viewpoint.
Definitely.
It's the way, it's perspective. You know, we talked about earlier in the week, perspective in the storm.
Yes.
Right. And I think it's a perspective. Maybe God's really bringing us this week into talking about perspective. I'm starting to see a pattern here. But, you know, the feeling of envy is a result of a distorted viewpoint in your life. You're looking at life wrong.
Most definitely. And a lot of times we are either looking for happiness or to ease something. Oh, if I only had what Johnny had down the road,
then I'd be happy.
Or, right. You know, I'm not as good of a husband as Larry down the road because he just got his wife a new car.
Right.
Look at the decorations and the way he did his house.
Right.
I couldn't do that for my wife.
I didn't have time to do that. I have to work all the time or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, so, I think it's comparison. I think when we're having a distorted viewpoint and we're envying something that somebody else has, you know, I mean, it's even in the Ten Commandments.
Oh, most definitely.
Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. So, you know, it's another word for envy in the Bible is covetousness.
Yes.
You know, and you know, we've got to be really careful about coveting what other people have and envying what other people have in our lives. It's not a good way to do life. We've got to just allow God to show us how. And Paul, he says, I've learned in every manner, in every way, to be content. How do we stay content in the holiday season? I think that's a better way of branching this program a little bit, you know?
That is. That's a really good way to put it. And, you know, living in envy and envying other things is not living in thankfulness. It's not living in gratitude for the blessings that God has given you and the ability to produce some of the things we're able to purchase. Because at the end of the day, he is always our provider. And if we're jealous over something that somebody else has and we want it, it's like saying, Lord, what you haven't done enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, I look at all the different scriptures in the Bible and people that covet things, people that are caught up in the envy trap. The Bible has some things to say about that. In Ephesians 5:5, it says this, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God.
Wow.
This can be a deal breaker for you and your relationship with God. I mean, God is really serious about this thing of coveting and envying what other people have.
Most definitely, and I believe that a lie of the enemy and what society tells us is that it's not that big of a deal. Strive towards what somebody else has and, you know, want that and desire that. But the word tells us straight up that that is idolatry. That is placing an item above what God has provided us, above God himself. And that's what we're striving for when we're actually supposed to be striving for him and to know more of him and allow him into our life more than we previously have.
Sure. Well, one of the first things that I've noticed about when we have envy and covetousness in our life is that it makes it all about us.
Yes.
You know, it's like the me show. If you ever lived in and it's all about you.
I have.
You have. Okay.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised right now. No, that's everybody. Come on, you guys. You know, we've all done this. We've all fallen victim to it. Envy always puts us at the center.
Most definitely.
It's called selfishness. Mm.
It's almost like envy brings us back to being a little child. My kids, all they wanted when they were younger is, oh, I want this. Everything they saw as they went down the store. We used to be a Toys R Us, and they would go.
I'm still like that with some things, but now it's like boats and cars.
Exactly, a little more expensive
now. Guns. I want, it's way more expensive.
Yeah, but things that they've never even seen before, just because they see it, oh, I have to have that.
Right, it's called lust.
It is, and it's one of, you know, Toys R Us had to be one of the worst stores to ever bring your child into. Because everything they saw, they wanted it. And envy brings us back to that.
It does.
And there's a feeling in that, almost like when we look at it, oh, I want that. For a moment, we have the feeling that we have it. And it brings us that very brief and fleeting happiness.
Right. And then it's gone.
But then
you want
gone.
The next thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's lust. It's crazy, but... You know, we said envy puts us at the center, but the good life that when we're in envy becomes the life that we say is good for us.
That's good.
You know, it's whether we have what we want or we don't have what we want, whether our life is good or bad. And, you know, the good life always becomes that life where it's like, I have everything that I want.
Yes.
And the bad life is because we say we're not getting what we want. Now, that's more of the life I tend to be living.
Yeah.
You know, when I look around, there's so many things. And I think we just have to be careful because as believers, our perspective needs to be on the greatest gift that we've ever been given, and that's Jesus in our life. And I think God's like, don't covet what other people have because nobody's taking anything with them.
Right.
When they leave this world. You could get every toy, every man, woman toy, every house, cars. You can have all of that stuff, but when you leave this earth, you're leaving with nothing.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that's part of why God's looking for us to have that right perspective towards things. It's called materialism.
Most definitely. And I think you hit it right on the head, Pastor Kevin, where he's supposed to be our focus. And the issue is, like, we want things. Like, for example, I use this analogy. One of my kids, when they were younger, they couldn't wait to drive the car. They just wanted the car keys.
Right,
at
right.
5 years old.
I got to drive.
At 5 years old, you can't have the car keys.
Right.
Does it mean you're never going to have the car keys? No, it just means there is a timing.
Sure.
So for the things that we think we want, may or may not be timing. It may be things that are not good for us, but we don't know the difference because, you know, it says, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. Your wisdom is foolishness to me, and my wisdom is foolishness to you.
Yeah.
That's why it comes back to trust and just realizing that he is a good father, and he has good things for us in the proper timing.
Yeah, one of the other things that I've seen about envy, Bruce, is this, that it's idolatry, you know, in many ways. Envy always exchanges the creation for the creator.
That's good.
You know what I mean? We look at what the world has to offer us instead of what God has to offer us in our life. If we're living a life full of envy and covetousness, we are materialistic and we're worldly and we're carnal. We're not looking at the true blessings of life, and that is to live your life with Jesus Christ at the center of your life and your heart, and to have joy knowing that you know him and you have a relationship with the God who already owns everything. You know, it's all his, and you know, but to have him is the greatest treasure.
Most definitely. And you're absolutely right, Pastor Kevin. When we are focused on the material things that we want or we should have what this guy has, we are not eternity minded. And to bring it back to something even a little more, much more seriousness, is there's a world out there that does not understand what eternity is. And if we get wrapped up in material things and
right.
focused on that and myself, then we do not have the ability to allow them to see eternity.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of scriptures that would back that idea up.
Oh, most definitely. In Romans chapter 1, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised.
Yeah, that's idolatry. And that's what envy does. It drives us to a place where we're looking at things, not looking at people or looking at God, you know?
Most definitely.
Because I think one of the most important things to God is how we treat people. It really is.
It is.
And, you know, I think if we're coveting what other people have, we can find ourselves in trouble sometimes because we become so self-centered. We're not focused on God. We're not focused on others. We're strictly focused on ourselves and heaping all those things upon our own lust, and we become tormented, really, you know, because then you can never get enough stuff.
Most definitely.
Lust can never be satisfied, but see, the true love of God gives you the satisfaction and the peace already before you have the things. And then when you get the things, they don't have that grip on you. You're willing to let go of what I've had God tell me to give away things that I just got.
Yes.
They were brand new. And he's like, give that to them. And I'm like, I like it.
I just,
you know,
got it.
And he's like, give it to them. I'm like, okay. You know, and just being faithful in little, God's given me much.
Yes.
You know, I always tell people now, I have so many different things people bring and give to me, donations and stuff, that I am so blessed that I've given away everything that I had at some point, you know, and now I just give away what other people have. They call me, tell me to come get it, and I get it, and I go give it away. And it's an amazing way to live under generosity. And generosity and envy don't work hand in hand.
No, they're complete opposites.
You know, it's like, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. Or it's, you know what, here you go, my name's Flo. That's all I can come up with.
That works.
No. Or Joe.
Joe, there
you go. Yeah, there we go.
No,
let it go.
That is so good, though, because they are polar opposites from one another. You cannot be thankful and be a thankful person and a giving person while being envious and jealous of what somebody else has.
You know, I think one of the key things when I look at how envy can creep into your life is that, you know, we begin to measure our life by our physical experiences and the different people that we know or the different things that we have. And what that does is it looks to the world's system, the world's way of doing things for our satisfaction.
That's good. That's
and
true.
We can't be satisfied in those things. We can try. It'll never satisfy you and give you peace. But, you know, envy is like asking the earth to give you meaning and purpose when your meaning and purpose really is just in the Lord.
Exactly. That's very
it's
true.
It's in the Lord. So envy will also try to seek from creation what only the Creator can give you. Mm. And I love that because God created each person with a desire to know Him and to experience Him and to have Him as part of their lives. And when we get God off our focus and we're looking at everything else but Him, we're never going to be fully fulfilled in our lives because we were created to worship. We were created to be a part of God and a part of His life.
Most definitely. And envy tries to seek from the creation what the Creator can provide. It's like trying to get electricity from a lamp
right.
that's not plugged in.
Sure.
The lamp in itself has nothing to give me. It has zero power.
Right.
The power comes from the electrical outlet. Just like our power comes from the Lord. Aside from Him, there is no power that comes from anything that He has created here on earth.
That is so good. You know, one of the fundamental things that I see with people that are like looking in through envy, the lens of envy in their life is, well, I deserve better.
Yeah.
You know, and at Christmas yes. time, you know, I'm looking at my neighbor's new boat, and you know, and I got an RC remote controlled boat instead. And I'm like, I deserve to be able to drive that big boat, not have to use this little remote controlled boat.
Yep.
In my life. I want to go fishing, wah, you know, and I deserve better. That is something that as believers we've got to be aware of. We've got to be super careful when we start thinking that we deserve anything. Because if you look at what the Bible tells you you deserve,
that's true.
Wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death.
That's
but
right.
You know what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. So technically, we don't deserve anything.
No.
And, you know, you've got the story. Remember the story of the rich man and, you know, Lazarus?
Yes.
And Lazarus was poor. He had nothing. And this rich man had all this stuff. And when he died, and he went into Sheol, which
right.
was actually split into two different pieces prior to Christ coming. You know, when Christ mm-hmm. descended into hell, he descended into Abraham's bosom, and he pulled the righteous
right.
believers out of hell because there was no atonement yet.
Yes.
So they were in like this place waiting, and it's shown right there in Scripture.
Yep.
You know, because you know, Lazarus is there, and he says, "Send, you know, Lazarus to just dip a little bit of water on my tongue. I'm in torment here." Lazarus wasn't in torment.
No.
The other was. So you can see there was definitely a two-part area of hell that is
yes.
not existing that way anymore now that
right.
Jesus has come. Abraham's bosom doesn't exist any longer. Everyone's in heaven.
Yep.
You know, now to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord in eternity. But there was a time prior to Christ's coming that, you know, he went and cleaned that area out, and all of them rose from the dead with him in his resurrection. It shows in scripture that there were people were seen wandering around in the streets and stuff through the resurrection. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. But what I was going at, though, I was a little rabbit trail there on hell, and it's two parts prior to Christ, and that's biblical. You can look it up. But the real situation here is the rich man didn't end up in the right place.
No.
Because he had envy. He coveted everything he had, and then Lazarus ended up, you know, in the right place because he didn't have all those things. So riches aren't a curse, and you can have riches, but just don't let the riches have you.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. I deserve better is dangerous.
Yeah, it's a me, me, me. Back to that.
Yeah. So, you know, envy is very skilled at ignoring the eternal value of the Bible. You know what I mean? So the view of reality that, you know, is followed by envy is that it acts as if all we have is right here and right now.
Definitely. Envy has a way of distracting us from eternity. It has a way of distracting us from what is forever and focusing on what is literally just a blink of an eye.
Sure.
On things that will just rust and rot away if left by themselves.
And you can't take it with you.
No, you cannot.
So, you know, I think that we have to be very careful about our perspective, which is what, you know, we've kind of been talking about.
Yes.
In the last few programs, is what is your perspective on? Are you looking at what everybody else has, and are you envious of them? Are you looking, I want this, I want that? Are you short-sighted in all that you're doing and in your life, or are you, you know, humbling yourself and just being grateful for what you do have? You know, is it? It's that whole glass half empty, glass half full thing.
Most definitely. And you know, it comes to the point where whatever you are putting the majority of your attention on is what you're worshiping.
Yeah.
If you, now, we're not going to put all of our attention on the Lord just because it's an impossibility right now. We are not made perfect. But what I strive for and put my attention on is what I'm worshiping. So am I worshiping the ability to get my wife a new car? Do I want a better house? How about new furniture? What do I want to get her for Christmas? If these are the things that I focused my attention on, I have now distracted my attention from focusing on Jesus, who is my provider. Peace, joy, finances, all of it. And I placed it on something else that is unworthy of my attention.
Sure. And I think, guys out there listening to us today, we just want you to know that you don't have to, listen to me, you don't have to live a life envying what other people have. You know, you've been given so many blessings as a believer in Jesus Christ that you can focus on who you have, not what you have. Right. And I'm telling you, it is a better way to do life. It's simple, and God's love is the center, and we want you to know that he loves you and he's for you, and he's just you don't have to fall into all those traps. So we're going to take a quick break, and then let's come back and talk a little bit more about this topic of envy.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Hello, everyone. Pastor Kevin here from Lighthouse Christian Church, and I just wanted to take a moment and invite each and every one of you to our Christmas Eve services. It's going to be December the 24th at 4 and 5:30 p.m. here at Lighthouse Church, located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Please join us as we celebrate the joyous holidays and the birth of Jesus Christ here at our church. Of the year. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. So glad to have you. We've been on a tough topic today, Bruce. We're just kind of sticking them in the side with that dagger on envy and just coming after your personal life. And what are you thinking? What are you doing out there? I mean, that can be tough to talk about as ministers sometimes. And, you know, I think the biggest thing we have to look at in this whole thing of envying and coveting is avoiding comparison.
Most definitely. If we turn to the word here in the book of John, it says, let's see here, it says, so we're going to consider the words of Jesus when Peter fretted over John's place in Jesus' ministry. He asked him, he said, "Lord, what about him?" Meaning John. Jesus answered, "What is it to you? You must follow me."
Right.
And that right there boils down all of it.
Right.
You know, what about the other guy?
When you get to heaven, you're like, well, Jesus, he had so much more than me. Look what he did. And Jesus is like, well, what did I give you? What'd you do with what I gave you? He said, what is it? Don't worry about him. Look at it yourself.
Most definitely. And, you know, when we get to heaven, when we've run our race and we finished, these are things we're not even going to care about anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, as a pastor, I've battled comparison.
Most definitely.
You know, I mean, well, look at his church. He's got 1,000 people. He's got 2,000. He's got 5,000. Well, he's got 20,000, you know? And pastors can fall into comparison really bad. Well, the last week we had 100, and this week we only have 50. What's going on? You know, if you're doing your ministry counting the numbers, you know, you're going to be in trouble, okay?
Yes.
So I'd say this. If you're dealing with comparison out there, you need to learn to be patient because, you know, your career or my ministry, you know, they can collapse if there's too much, too soon. You know, God is in timing. He has a perfect way of doing things. So I would say take the task that you've been given. If you don't know what your tasks are for the Lord, ask him, what is it that you have for me? And then rather than longing for more or having to have something bigger or better or more incredible, don't look at success as money or fame, but look at success as you being obedient to God.
That's good.
And the call of God on your life. Each and every one of you can do that. I believe in you. Bruce, would you pray for those who may be struggling with this today?
Most definitely. You know, Father, you provide all of our needs. Help us to rest in you, not comparing ourselves to others and what they're doing, but rather rest and have faith and trust in you that we have our own race to run. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, guys, thanks for tuning into the program. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.